me. We're going to turn to Ephesians chapter number 5 this morning. Ephesians chapter number 5. We're going to finish this series up this morning. Ephesians chapter number 5. And we've been looking at, since Easter, we've been looking at how to walk through life and how to live in 2024. You know, many people have many different ideas. Many Christians have many different ideas about a lot of different things. But the Bible is true. And what God's Word says, it's true and it's always right. Always has been, always will be. And we would do well to follow what it says and to live in light of what it says. Do you know really what we need in 2024? Are you ready for it? It literally comes down to this. We need Christians to live like Christians. It's literally it. Now that sounds easy, doesn't it? But that's literally, we just need to be Christians. We are supposed to be Christ-like, as we've looked at a couple weeks ago. Be followers, be imitators. We are to imitate God. We are to mimic Him. That's what the Bible teaches us. And so as we look at our text today, I'm going to review real quick where we've been and where we're going today, and then we'll move on with the message. You notice your outline's only half a sheet, so you think that that makes it not very long. That's not always the case. Last Wednesday night, I went about 55, almost an hour, with no notes for you. So, but I just preached this one a little bit ago. It was about 33 minutes long, so we'll see what happens this time. We actually got out at 9:28 the last service. That's never happened before, and I don't know that it'll ever happen again, but it happened once. Duncan, it's good to see you back there, and Duncan was here off and on for a semester while he's in Bible college helping us out in here. And he graduates from Bible college tomorrow night, so congratulations, Duncan. It's always good to see you. I didn't know you were coming today, so I'm glad that you're here today, and good to see you. And Joyce, you got your sister, and then a niece here as well, and so it's good to have both of you here today as well. Always good to see some of Joyce's family, and that's a good thing. And so, Russ, you're like all the way on the end by yourself there today. You okay? And so, I don't know why you're sucking your thumb. I don't know what that had to do with anything. But anyways, we're glad you're all here. That's a good thing. And so, and thanks for putting up with Russ for a few days. I know a few people can do it, but I'm glad you're able to do that. So, and all right. Walk in unity is where we started. As believers, we need to get along with God's people. Far too many Christians, it's amazing. The world is very good at teaming up against Christianity, but Christians aren't very good at standing together. Christians are good at stabbing each other in the back a lot of times. We talked about last week on Sunday night, those of you that weren't here, we talked about the difference between biblical convictions and biblical beliefs, personal convictions and personal preferences. Sometimes we like to put everything under biblical convictions, which is a falsehood. When the Bible's clear on something, that's a biblical conviction. There's nothing else that can be said. Jesus is Lord, that's a biblical conviction. And there's nothing you can do to change that, or we can't, if we don't get along, if we don't agree there, then there's no agreement anywhere. And we saw some things when we started this. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one body, one spirit. And so biblical convictions, they need to, in order to be unified with someone, the biblical conviction's got to be there, which is what the Word of God says. Now, people have biblical beliefs. You know, I used last week as an example that there are those that, tribulation, rapture. Some say it's pre, some say it's mid, some say it's post. Well, each of them have a biblical belief about it because they take Scripture for it. But a biblical belief, we can agree to disagree, and who cares? It's not going to matter at the end of the day. If you think that God's coming at the end of the tribulation, wonderful. You think He's coming at the beginning, that's where I think, then wonderful, but we can agree still. But a lot of times as Christians, we put our biblical beliefs up with our convictions, and convictions there is no bending on. But biblical beliefs, you have a Bible verse and a reason you believe it, but then there are times we take our personal convictions, our personal beliefs, and I've given examples of these over the past several weeks. And we just got to be very careful with it. It's just like the Bible being the Word of God, that is a Bible conviction. There is no difference on that. Now, what version and where you go with that, that could be anywhere from a personal preference to maybe you want to call it a biblical belief on your end, but even there is stretching it a little bit. But we divide over people because they don't sing the songs we do in church or they don't do it this way. But we need to walk in unity with those that are in Jesus Christ, because someday you're going to be in heaven with them. You realize that, right? You will be. If they're saved, you're going to be in heaven with them. Walk in unity. Walk in the newness of life. And instead of the old man, we all have the old man on us, right? Instead of walking that old man, we need to walk in the newness of life. Put away the lying. Put away the stealing. Put away the bad words. Put away the anger. Put away those things. And don't grieve the Spirit of God, but be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. That's what Christ did. Walk in unity. Walk in the newness of life. And then we looked at 2 weeks ago being followers of God. And what is God? God is love, right? The Bible's clear on that. So we are to walk in love. Practically, what does it look like to walk in love? Being kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. That's walking in love. Last week, we looked at walking as children of light. You've been called out of darkness. So stop living in that darkness and live in the light. Walk as children of light. And today, as we close out our series here, we look at the fact we need to walk in wisdom. Walk in wisdom. Now, we think about, is God wisdom? He is wisdom, isn't he? He is. You could look at, have you ever read through the book of Proverbs and seen, especially chapter 8, where it talks about wisdom and all these things? It sounds very similar to the Lord when you read through there. And if you look at the spirits of God that are mentioned in the Bible, wisdom is one of those. So we need to walk in wisdom. We need to be, look as it says there, look at verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Father, I pray that you bless the next few minutes that we have this morning. We love you. We need you. We thank you for your goodness and your love. And help us as we look at this today to walk circumspectly. Help us to walk in that wisdom today. We love you, Lord. We need you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. About 4.5 years ago, I started losing weight. And it lost it, and now I've found 25 pounds of it. But anyways, that's another story for another time. And I liked hiking. I remember the first time I went to Chino Hills State Park. Joe took me. We went on the back side of it, and we went hiking up there. And when you go in the springtime, it's green out there. The flowers are blooming. It's pretty nice. But when it gets hot, you really start watching, because I was out there one time alone by myself, and I'm just walking, going through everything, and I literally almost stepped on a rattlesnake. Why did I almost step on the rattlesnake? He was just minding his own business. He was just there. I was going to step on him and interrupt his day, and he was going to make my day a very bad day if I stepped on it. So I made it a habit after that time. Anytime I go walk in Chino Hills State Park, it would always be in the cooler part of the day. Once it started getting warm, end of May, June, I'm done out there. Well, I think it was like 1.5 years ago, somewhere in there, Joe and I went out there again together, and it was June. It was warm. So you know what I'm doing the entire time as we're walking? I'm looking everywhere. And I've got my eyes open for everything. And we got done, and there was no snakes anywhere, and I thought that's great. Well, we're going to use the restroom before we leave. There's a restroom over there, and there's a sign over there too, and my phone rings. I don't remember who it was, and it's probably my parents or something. So I answer the phone, and I'm talking, and we're on the pavement things. We're good, right? So I'm just walking over here. I'm over by the sign on the phone, not paying attention to anything around me. The next thing I hear is a rattle. And not a rattle that Mila would be using over there. We're talking about, it was a snake. And literally 5 feet away from me, in the corner, in the shade by this sign, was the biggest rattlesnake I've ever seen in my life. He had to be 500 feet long. No, it wasn't that bad. He wasn't that big. It was a huge rattlesnake right there, and I was 5 feet away from it. I thought I was in a safe spot, so I didn't even check. And I was busy on my phone, and I didn't realize what was right there. That's what happens in the Christian life. You walk through life, and you be careful some of the time, but then you let your guard down and think you're safe, and there's a snake waiting to get you. The Bible tells us here, see that ye walk circumspectly. That word circumspect comes from two Latin words which mean looking around. The Greek word carries the idea of precision and accuracy. You could say it like this. See that you walk carefully with exactness. Know where you're walking and where you're stepping in the Christian life. You see, the opposite could be true in our lives, right? There are times we don't look around very well. We don't stop to see what's going on. And this is the thing. You cannot leave the Christian life up to chance. It doesn't work that way. God says, hey, be wise in how you walk. Look where you're walking. And then redeem the time. You don't have a lot of time. Take the time that you've been given. Buy it back. Do something with the time you've given because the days are evil. And if the days were evil 2,000 years ago when this was written, the days are evil today. Right? And then we need to understand what the will of God is. And there are many people out there, oh, the will of God, it's this big spooky thing. God's will is not spooky. God tells us in his word what his will is. And I think, and I'll show you in a few minutes, he shows us right here in this passage what he wants you to do. And too many people, I want to know God's will. I want to know God's will. Just do what the book says and you'll be all right. We want God to give us some big special revelation from heaven when he's given us some special revelation from heaven in his word that tells us how to live our lives. Walk in wisdom. You notice verse 14 before this here, it says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Hey, open up, make the most of your day. Wake up, make the most of your day. Don't drift through life. God doesn't want his people to be like sleepwalkers, drifting throughout the day and drifting throughout those things. My older brother, my parents, they went on vacation. This was before I was born. But my older brother, Mark, was known as a sleepwalker. And so they're in a hotel, and I guess they didn't, I don't know back then if they didn't have that little extra locking thing there. Well, let's say my older brother was in his underwear and wandered out of the room in the middle of the night. And it was the time the Girl Scouts were all staying at the hotel there. And so in the middle of the night, my parents are getting a loud knock on the door on their room. And little did you know, it was Mark trying to get back in because he had wandered off and didn't realize where he was because he was sleepwalking. Many Christians do that in their life, and then they wake up and they're like, what's happened? What have I done? Walk in wisdom. Paul gives us a few reasons here this morning why we should be accurate and careful in our walk. First of all, number one, because it's a mark of wisdom. Verse 15 tells us there, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So do you see the Bible says, if you don't keep your eyes open and watch everything, what are you doing? You're being foolish. A mark of true wisdom is when we, and you think about this, only fools drift with the wind and the tide. A wise man marks his course, sets those things up. And you know, how many of you, I don't know, well, I know Albert's built a house before, right? You've built a house before, Albert, right? A few, multiple ones. Did you ever go into building a house and just say, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go buy some lumber and just get started and see what happens. No, you had a plan, right? You had a plan laid out and knew what you were going to do. It's just like anything you do in life, and you need to have a plan. That's just like sometimes I know some people will look at me and be like, Pastor, I don't know if you got a plan for there's a plan. Things are well thought out long before they're done. But anyways, in life, if you run by the seat of your pants always, you never think of things. You got to plan things out. What if this happens, or what if that, or how am I going to do this? And so that's a mark of wisdom, the Bible tells us here. How many Christians plan their day so they use their opportunities wisely? I know you do not know. You do not know what's going to happen later on today. As of yesterday, I didn't plan on cooking lunch today because we had a family that we were going to go out to lunch with today. They canceled late last night, so I don't know what we're going to even do for lunch. Normally, we'd eat at home. I'd make something at home, but I don't have it, so we're probably going to go out somewhere. Where are we going to go? I don't have a clue. Haven't planned that out. I don't know how everything's going to go, but I did have a plan on Friday when I went to the store and planned out everything for the next several days. The Bible tells us in James chapter number 4 and verse 13, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we'll go into such a city, continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." You see, we don't understand what everything. Life is short, right? It's like a vapor that appeareth for a little time, vanisheth away. And we can say, well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And then what happens when we're not here anymore? Well, if the Lord wills, I'll do this. And if the Lord wills, there's a certain way to think on it. It's a mark of wisdom. Number two, we realize the fact that life is short. Life is short. The Bible says there in verse 16, redeeming the time, buying up the time, buying up the opportunity. Take advantage of it. When we think of that word opportunity, it comes from the Latin, which means toward the port. It suggests a ship taking advantage of the wind and tide to carry safely to the harbor. Life's short. And do you know, the older I get, the more I realize that. When I was a kid, I felt like 40-year-olds were old. And I am 13 months away from being 40 years old. And do you know what I know now? I was wrong as a kid. 40 is not old at all. And I don't think 50, 60, I don't even know. Even 80, I saw when Carl, we didn't celebrate his birthday thing yesterday, 80 years old. And I loved it. My kids were arguing about Carl. And they're like, one of them's like, he's not, there's no way he could be 80. He's 70. And then Alyssa's like, he just aged gracefully. And so that was a good way to look at age gracefully. And I'm like, do I look old? And they're like, yes. That wasn't the answer I was looking for. But talking to Carl yesterday, as he celebrates his 80th tomorrow, he showed me all these photo albums. And some things seem like they were forever ago. But in all reality, life just flies by. It was yesterday, you got your first car. Yesterday, you got married. And now you're married 50, 60 years. And where does the time go? Life is brief. Redeem that time. Use it for the Lord. Use the time that he's given you. Take advantage of every opportunity. And a lot of times it takes a memorial service or a funeral for us to look at how short life truly is, for us to put into perspective that we don't have a long time. And take whatever time God gives you and use it for his glory and for his honor. That's walking in wisdom. Life's short. Number three, the days are evil. Now you think about those days that Paul lived in as he penned these words, and you think about the Roman persecution and the wickedness that took place. And think about how foolish and it would be to waste that time to live in that evil and to do those things. What we got to do is we need to live for the Lord today. Live for him today. If the days were evil when Paul wrote the letter, think about how much worse it is today. And as we get closer to the end, the days are going to wax worse and worse, the scriptures say. Hey, why do I need to walk in wisdom? Because it's a mark of wisdom. It's also reminds us, and we see here, life's short, walk in wisdom. The days are evil, walk in wisdom. Number four this morning, God's given you a mind, use it. Look at the next verse there, verse 17. "Wherefore, be not ye unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." That word understanding suggests using our minds to discover and to do the will of God. Do you know God's given each of us a mind in this room? He has. You might not realize it, but you do have a mind. We do. And God wants you to use it. That's why he gives it to you. When we look at that thing, too many Christians, as I mentioned, think that God's will is some mysterious, spooky thing, that once you find God's will, then everything's going to just work out and be great. God's will, and I have people come often, "Pastor, I want to know God's will." God's given you his word. It's listed in there. I think we could look at, "And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." That's a great way to live. Be thankful. That's something God wants you to do. So as we look at God's word and we think about these things, the Bible tells us in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, they present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And verse 2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And you see, the world wants to conform us and push us into the mold it wants us to be. But if we're going to be transformed and let God transform us into what he wants us to be, that happens through the renewing of our minds. And how do we renew our minds? That happens through the word of God, through prayer, through worship. If God gave you a mind, then he wants you to use it. And this means learning his will involves gathering facts, examining them, weighing them, and praying for God's wisdom in the midst of it. James 1 verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Hey, if you lack wisdom, ask God. That's the one time I'm glad the Lord's a liberal in one area, in giving us wisdom. I thought that was funny. No one else thought that was funny. That's fine. I'll mark that down. Don't use that joke again in the second service. First service, about half the crowd laughed. Not as much here. So we'll save the real dry ones for not this service and use them at another one. But if you lack that wisdom, ask God. He'll help you with it. He'll give you the wisdom that you need. God just doesn't want us to simply know his will. He wants us to understand it and to live it out. And when we think about that, that leads us to point number 5 this morning, the fact that God has a plan for our lives. And that's what it's saying here. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. We realize the fact the Bible tells us in Ephesians 2, verse number 10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. If God saved you, he has a plan for you. He has a purpose for you. And as we go through life, I discover that purpose, and then that guides my life as he leads me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy path. Right? That's what the Bible says. He reveals his plan to us through his word. The Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, it says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with all the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. You see, that comes through his word. How are you going to know about God? How can you know God's will? The book. It tells us. That's why so many people get so mysterious. God needs to speak to me and give me his will. He's already spoken to you and given you his will. And as God tells us, and as we learn it, and as he reveals his plan through his word, his spirit then in our hearts works. The Bible tells us in Colossians 3, verse 15, and I didn't put that in the notes there. Colossians 3:15. Let's look there. I'll read it for you. If you want to turn there, you can turn there as well. But Colossians 3:15, the Bible says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called into one body, and be ye thankful. And you see, it is God, like God, as you hear his word. And as his word's working in you, let him work on you through his word. And then we realize what the Lord's doing. The Christian can walk carefully and accurately because you know what God wants you to do. If God said, just walk through this life and figure it all out, what would we do? But like a builder following a blueprint, he's established the plan and said, hey, this is my will. Walk in this. You say, well, what is God's will? I'm glad you asked. Look at verse 17 again. Back in verse 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. What's the next word going into verse number 18? And. I am not the most brilliant language person in the world, but what is the word and? It's a conjunction. It joins things together. So, it literally says, therefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And so I think it's telling us here what God's will is for us. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. You'll notice that verse 18 ends in a semicolon. Verse 19 ends in a semicolon. Verse 20 ends in a semicolon. And verse 21 ends in a period. So that means everything from verse 18 through verse 21 is a continuing thought. Am I correct on that? I think I'm correct on that. I wouldn't have said if I didn't think I was correct on that, but you never know. So what do we see right here? Say, Pastor, I want to know God's will. How can I walk through this life circumspectly? What am I supposed to be watching for? What am I supposed to do? Well, it's laid out right here. Now, the first part there, God doesn't want you to go get drunk. That's not what it's talking about there. When someone's drunk, they're under the influence, right? Drunkenness is sin. We talked about this last Sunday night. We talked about alcohol and drunkenness and the difference between the two. This last Friday night, I did a DUI checkpoint with the police. And when I do those, instead of doing a ride-along, I get to be around 25 officers instead of one. So it's more bang for your buck. That's the way that works. So while I'm out there, these two guys, I felt so bad for these guys, but it was so funny. So these two guys were at the golf course up in Ontario, and they got drunk at the golf course. They were plastered. They were hammered. Well, they were smart enough somehow to realize they shouldn't drive, and they left their car there. They got an Uber. So the Uber drives through the DUI checkpoint, and, you know, their thought in the car is, we're good. We got the Uber. It doesn't matter. We're not driving. We're safe. The driver had a suspended license of the Uber, and they had to pull in, and they were stuck at the DUI checkpoint for an hour and a half. And then they get to leave, and they walk over, and they see me, and they're like, we do the right thing, and we're stuck here an hour and a half. Now there's another Uber coming for us. And I teased them because they saw the Uber in line. And they went and got, I'm like, I don't know if you want to get in. Let them get through and then get in the car. But literally, they said, our senses are so off right now. Those words came out of their mouth. They were under the influence of what they had to drink. In the Christian life, you're not supposed to be under the influence of what you drink. You're supposed to be under the influence of the Spirit of God. So just as someone's under the influence of something and their senses are messed up and they shouldn't do it, as a believer, we should be under the influence of the Spirit of God. We should yield ourselves and be filled with the Spirit. Each of us has as much of the Spirit of God as anyone else does. When you get saved, the Spirit moves in, right? We're baptized into one Spirit. He's there. The question is not how much, you know, when we look at it, I want more of the Holy Spirit. Well, the question is, how much are you yielded to the Spirit and letting Him lead? Is it your flesh running the show? Are you under the influence of your flesh? Or are you under the influence of your Spirit? God's will is that we let the Spirit lead us and we're under the influence of His Spirit. God's will also, verse number 19, talks about the songs and things that are in our hearts. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. I know some people think, oh, hymns, see? God wants us just to sing those hymns in church. Most of the hymns you like in the songbook were written about 1,500 years. Some of the old ones are still there, 1,500 years after that was written. So that's not directly implying to them. But there is something about psalms, that's Bible songs, hymns, songs that talk about God, and spiritual songs. There's something about them. And the melody, I do much better in my life when I'm singing songs to the Lord. If I'm having a rough day and I just turn on some music in the car, like I can listen to that song on that day, and I think before I got done, that's one that I only heard them sing last week for the first time. I hadn't even heard it. And so I'm not on the cutting edge of all the music and all that, but I heard it last week. So I played it in my car this last week a couple times straight. It'll get you going a little bit, get you a little bit excited about the things of God, thinking about that. And what's that one line? I forget it right now. This headache's still there, but you repeated it twice on the bridge. My Father, what's that line? My Father has a hold on me. or has a hold on me, something about that. That line is, and it's just, it's good to have good songs. You fill your head, and this, and I'm not preaching a message about don't listen to worldly, whatever. There are so many Christians that go two ways. We talk about personal preferences and all that stuff, biblical beliefs, biblical convictions. I shouldn't be putting any garbage in here. So music that has garbage, I shouldn't listen to. But there are a lot of songs out there that might be a worldly song that doesn't have garbage. You and the Lord figure out what you do with that. It's not my job to tell you what to do with that. But I will tell you this, when you listen to good music, it's a good thing. When you go to Disneyland, what do they do from the time you almost get onto the property? They start playing, all those songs are playing. And you think back to a kid watching those Disney movies, Pinocchio, all the different, you think of the different ones because it gets your mind, and it gets you into a different, music has a way of doing that. Good music is a good, and singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's God's will for us. God's will is for us to be filled with the Spirit, to sing good songs to Him. The next one there is giving thanks. Look what it says there in verse number 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. God wants you to give thanks in all things. And you might, and you say, well, okay, I'll thank God. Thank you, I'm sick. No one means that. No one means that. I don't say things like that. But God is still good when you're sick. God's faithfulness is still there. You can find things to be thankful for. But our minds tend to go in the opposite direction. We tend to complain and grumble instead of be thankful. That's why we need to give thanks in all things. And then the last thing it says there is submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And then you'll notice the rest of chapter 5 and 6. The rest of chapter 5 talks about the husband-wife relationship. Chapter 6 talks about the parent-child relationship. It talks about the servant and master relationship, and then it talks about the armor of God and closes out the chapter. In all reality, you want to be the husband God wants you to be, you need to do verse 18 to 21. You want to be the wife God wants you to be, do verse 18 through 21. You want to know God's will for you today? What does God want me to do today? Verse 18 to 21. That's it. Walk in it. And when you least expect it, and when you put your guard down, it's when you got to watch for that snake. I am glad there was no recording of me when I saw that snake. I know you probably, the best thing to do is just be quiet and walk away, but when you literally turn and you see that thing staring right back at you, I don't know if I was quiet or if I screamed. I don't know what happened. Joe, do you remember what I did? No. I think I told him never to tell anyone whatever happened right then. But I shouldn't have let my guard down. That was foolish on my part. Because why wouldn't a snake in the heat want to be in the shade a little bit? In wisdom, walk in wisdom. Keep your eyes up on everything. Look around. Understand what God wants you to do. And plug that into your daily life. And redeem each day because the days are evil. And just live for Him. Walk in unity, walk in the newness of life, walk in love, walk in the light, and walk in wisdom. Father, thank you for this.